So some years ago, I was on a church conference in Springfield, Illinois. And I had arrived, and I'd made sure that all of the people that were with me were stocked with food and in their rooms. And I got in the elevator with about five other people. And as we were going up, it didn't make it up all the floors that we had planned on, because we'd pushed the buttons, and none of us made it to a floor that we desired. And at that point, the lights flickered, and we stalled, and we realized that we were trapped in an elevator in a very tall hotel in Illinois. And it took a few moments for us to get someone on the intercom there to talk to them about our predicament. And the response that we got was that they would be calling the repairman. And that was fine. We went ahead and asked the follow-up question, where is the repairman coming from? And they said, St. Louis. And so they had a very nice guy who came by and turned on the fan that kind of helped ventilate a little bit, but you couldn't even feel a breeze. You just kind of heard it buzz. That was about it. And we all knew that it was going to be around 2.5 hours that we were going to be stuck in the elevator. So the oldest of the ladies that was in there took her position on the floor where she was going to be comfortable. And as we kind of stood and squatted and moved around, the heat began to get higher. It got pretty warm. My guess is it was somewhere around 90 degrees in there pretty shortly. But the nice repair, not the repair guy, the custodian or whatever he is, janitor, there at the hotel, stopped by, and he turned that fan on, and it helped just a tad. And we decided that we had around 2.5 hours. And we started talking to one another. We had about conversation that lasted about 20 minutes, and then we were like, and done. We have said all we need to say to these other people that we're going to be around. And then the question about who can make it and not have to use the bathroom for the next 2.5 hours became a concern. Nonetheless, we're standing up and pacing a little bit in our little tiny areas that we could. Some are sitting down whenever they feel the need. And at about 2.5 hour mark, the doors opened. This much. It was so much better, though. You could feel the cool air come in. The hot air was going out. We each took turns going over and just standing next to the opening. It was so nice. And we could ask through the opening, about how much longer do you think this is going to be? And they said, we don't know. And so another like 30 minutes passed. And then the doors finally opened. And all of us just rushed out to get out of the tiny elevator. We realized, though, that we hadn't stopped on the floors going up. The elevator had slowly sunk to the very bottom floor, and we hadn't even noticed it. But we were all so glad and thankful that the repairman had showed up. We were so thankful that we even got just about 4 inches of fresh air for a little while. But then he opened the doors, and it was just a feeling of freedom. I did not want to go and talk to anyone. I did not want to go and say, hey, I'm alive and made it. I just wanted to be alone for a moment. And then I went and checked on my folks to make sure that they were okay. They were fine. They weren't even worried about me. But that technician saved our lives. Because if no one had opened the doors, we would still be there. And there wouldn't be anything left of us. That technician was a kind of savior for us. He took us out of this horrible situation that we could not escape, and got us out into life and freedom where there was much more joy than there was pinned up in a hot little elevator. When Jesus came to be our Savior, the angels had a little proclamation that they made to the shepherds. The verses read this way, at least the couple that I'll read. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." One of the songs that we sing at this time of year, particularly on Christmas Eve, is the song "Joy to the World." But it was never intended to be a song about Christmas. That may surprise you. "Joy to the World" was never intended to be a song about Christmas. Isaac Watts wrote the poem, and another person who was famous in that day put some music to it from the song Handel's Messiah. And a few other minor changes, it became the song that we sing this morning. But the song was originally about Jesus' second coming, his return to earth as King of Kings. In that return to earth, he would restore creation. He would fix everything that was broken. In fact, one of my favorite lines is, "No more let thorns or thistles grow." I love that line. It is so obscure. One reason why I love it so much is because that is precisely the curse upon the ground that came because of Adam's sin. The thistles and the thorns grow. It's talking about a complete reversal of what we have experienced because of sin in the world. That the world would be restored so that there was no pain or suffering or difficulty. It would be life as God intended it to be. The song is about a Savior who comes to fix all of it. And isn't that what our hearts long for? Isn't that what our souls desire? We want the world to be a place where we can say that there is peace on earth. That Hebrew idea of peace, shalom, means life or existence as it was always intended to be, as God desired it from the beginning. That peace on earth would include blessings and life and fullness and joy. When the angels give their announcements to the shepherds, they speak of Jesus, our Savior, being born. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Their announcement wasn't just for the shepherds themselves. Their announcements weren't even for just the people of Bethlehem or the people of Israel. Their announcement was for all people, everyone who would take a breath on earth, everyone who would take a step on earth, everyone who would live a life on earth. The news would cause great joy. And what was that news? That in a tiny town, a Savior had been born. That Savior was going to bring about the restoration of all of creation, to produce peace on earth, life as it was intended to be. That Savior to be born, Christ the Lord, is the one whom we worship, the one into whom we pray. And that good news and that great joy is that our Creator, our Savior, our Restorer of all things are all one and the same person. But the earth isn't fully restored, is it? Thorns and thistles still grow, don't they? Jesus came in his first coming, and it brings us joy. Every one of us here who put our faith and trust in Jesus can point to that moment of salvation as a moment of joy that we carry with us every day of our lives. It's just like when I was trapped in the elevator and the technician opened it this much. There was joy. There was feelings of relief. An understanding that he had shown up and there was a promise of something bigger to come. And even though the crack was only just this big, the moment of having that heat relief, the moment of feeling the cool air come in, the moment of being able to see other people on the other side, the moment that you realize that the doors were open even though they're just this much, is a moment of joy. Jesus came as Savior, and he opened up this much of life for us. He opened up freedom for sin so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could stand before God without them. He opened the crack just this much so that his Spirit comes and lives within us and we have the promise of eternal life, though we don't experience it fully yet. Jesus came in his first coming, and he opened up just this much of life to us. But he's coming again. He's coming to open up the doors fully. He's coming to make a passageway that will fully allow us to enter into life as it was intended to be. Life as God desired it from the beginning, with creation restored and our lives restored and our hope restored and our relationship with God and others fully restored. The technician came and opened the doors all the way, and we got to fully enter into life. Jesus is coming again. And his goal is to give us life and to give all of creation life again as God intended it to be. And that is truly joy to the world. Joy not merely for us, but all of creation. For all of creation groans under sin. All of creation is waiting its full emancipation. All of creation is waiting for the Savior to arrive once more so that the doors of eternal life might be open, so that creation might once again sing its praises to its Creator, so that we all in manifold witness might sing our praise to the Lord, that the trees might clap their hands and the rocks might cry out and the people of God might shout hallelujah forevermore. We sing joy to the world at Christmas, and he'd only open the door this much. Imagine our praise and imagine our singing when we sing joy to the world when he comes once more. Lord, attune our hearts to that day. Let us be joyful in hope and patient so that we might enjoy your second coming. For Lord, that life will overflow into us and into this world, and creation be restored to the way you intended all along. Lord, we sing joy to the world, for our Savior reigns, and he is coming back again.